This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Glory to God. We've been praying. Testimonies have been coming. Different and higher levels of revelation has been coming. There are a lot of good news. We bless God for all the good things that He's doing in our lives. Now, I want to talk to us today about unusual happenings in the life of a believer when power comes. So just title it, Unusual Happenings at the Presence of Power. So that's the way we believe in our lives, all of us. Just let me use the disciples for example. There was a way they were living their lives. There was a way they were accustomed to live their lives before the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2. Just imagine the drastic change between the Last Supper and the day of Pentecost. Just please, I know you've read the story several times, but we usually read it in a general term, but I want you to see it. Imagine that Peter had a routine, as with the other disciples, of how they used to live their lives. Other men in the countryside who are doing their daily work, expected to just live for maybe 70, 75, 80 years and die, and leave behind children and take care of their wives and live out the course of human existence the way we know it. Then when they met Jesus, they adjusted, because Jesus was himself an embodiment of power. So they all had to adjust what they were doing. They left their jobs. They became his disciples. They became travelers. So before power came, they were stationed in one place. Peter would go out in the morning, go fish, come back in the evening to a warm supper from his wife and have some time with his family. Then they met Jesus, and the power was so powerful, it was magnetic. They then began to follow Jesus, because not only does power attract, power compels people to serve it. Not to serve it in a slavish way, although it can also do that, but the power of God compels people to witness it, to be a part of it, to want to be around it. All of us are attracted to the power of God. That was why Moses went to the burning bush. You can't run away from it. Where the power of God is, you go. That was why David went to the threshing field of Arauna. When he saw an angel standing there, power will draw you to itself. So they came to Jesus and they became his disciples. And it changed their lives in that the way their daily routine changed. They were no longer going fishing every day. They were no longer doing all the other things they were doing. They became full-time disciples, following Jesus everywhere, learning of him, sitting with him. Where Jesus is, you will find them there. Then they were used to this until the night of the Last Supper. When they had the Last Supper, Jesus told them he will be leaving. So all of them felt, oh, does this mean we are going back to our old life? Are we going back to our old life? And, well, the night Jesus was taken in the garden, all of us know the story, they were scattered. And after they were scattered, all of them somehow found their way back to that upper room where they had the Last Supper, and all of them met there. They sat there. Well, after Jesus died, at first they said, okay, you know what? Let's just wait until the high Sabbath is over. We'll go get the body of Jesus. We'll bury him properly. At least he deserved that. It's our Lord, our Master, it's our Savior, it's our Rabbi. We should at least give him a befitting burial. So all of them said that, and nobody wanted to take the glory for the burial, or Peter, someone that had denied him before, was not going to now deny his body of proper burial. So everybody said, okay, we want to bury him. What do we do? They had a meeting. And then one of the disciples, Joseph of Arimathea, said, oh, you can bury me in my tomb. Then they said, how do we get his body? Joseph said, okay, I have influence. I will go talk to Pilate. He will release the body to me, and then I'll bury the body in my tomb. So they had a meeting. They didn't just sit down crying. They had a meeting. They had a meeting to decide who will get the body. They had a meeting to decide where I will bury it. They had a meeting to discuss among themselves their next action. Some of the women among them went to get spices, to get what they will use to dress the body for burial. Some went to get shod. So they were not just sitting down crying. Their master had died. So they were going to give him befitting burial. So all of them were busy doing what they ought to do to give Jesus a befitting burial. Then the three came, and the Bible said, early in the morning, because they've all been waiting anxiously, early in the morning, they ran out. John was younger, so John ran faster than Peter and got to the tomb. When they got there, he was shocked. They couldn't find the body. The others came, they couldn't find the body. They began to wonder, so what happened to the body? Did Joseph take it? But they said they brought the body to the tomb of Joseph. Of Arimathea, and the tomb was sealed. But we saw all these things. Okay, they discussed a bit. Then Mary saw the Lord. Mary saw the Lord, and the Lord told him, oh, let them meet in Galilee. So then all of them said that, okay, he has risen. What? What do you mean? Risen? Okay, let's go see. So then they went ahead and decided that they were going to see the Lord. So they met him, and it was real. Then noticed that almost immediately after they met the Lord and they discovered that, wow, my God, he is really alive. The number of disciples began to increase. They were 120 at first. You will notice that the first thing that happened was that the number began to increase. They increased. They were no longer meeting in the upper room. By the time they went to Galilee and came back after resurrection, they had moved to another location, which can accommodate many more of them. The reason they didn't write out the location at the time was because of who were trying to persecute, and they didn't want anybody who was part of the main culture to get the information so that they can attack them. So they left out a lot of things. In fact, left out a lot of names of those who are collaborators with Jesus Christ during his time. Now, please stay with me. I'm trying to teach you something. And so, resurrection power showed up. The number of the disciples, suddenly 500. They came, all of them came from everywhere. That you got to hear names like Cleopas and his wife. We began to hear names that you didn't hear throughout the gospel, the synoptic gospel. We began to hear names like that. And they were saying they too were disciples. We began to hear names like Aeneas. You are wondering, wow, because they had names like exception, and all of them without exception wanted to be a part of what was going on. They wanted to be a part of what was going on, the desire to be a part of this new reality in Christ. No, somebody else. Okay. Can you, if you can see my voice, can I see your hand, please? I want to be sure that I saw somebody wrote something about sound. Okay, thank you. So they wanted to be a part of what was going on. It was their decision that this guy has risen from the dead. They had never seen anybody who rose from the dead before. So, okay, it's time to find out, okay, what is really going on. So they became 500. Now, when they became 500, Jesus began to teach them, and they were seeing him, they were touching him. They were like, why? All of them suspended work. Energy came. Suddenly, they were having food. People are bringing food there. I want you to understand it. 500 people. to stay with Jesus for 40 days. 40 days before ascension. And in those 40 days, they were camped with him. Food was coming. Why? Why? Something supernatural had happened. Something strange. Jesus had risen from the dead. And suddenly, those who had lost their hope had regained it. The course of history has changed completely, forever and ever, in such a way that even they couldn't envisage at the time, because since that time, nobody had ever risen from the dead the way Jesus rose from the dead. Of course, even now we still rise from the dead, but you know that they were risen from the dead as a result of Christ rising from the dead. They didn't rise from the dead by themselves, but Jesus rose from the dead by himself. It was something strange, but that was power. Okay, so when they did that and it worked, and they had 500, just then told them, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me all over the world. And they were like, okay. And they just taught them other things. And the Bible said that clearly. It said it taught them many other things. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said, before then, they followed Jesus. They followed him to the Mount of Ascension. They saw him ascending. They saw him ascending. And the reason Jesus ascended, because Jesus ascended twice. The first time, when they said Mary shouldn't touch him, he had to present himself to the Father. The first time, he ascended to take all the saints, according to Psalm 24, into the gates, because without his presence, they couldn't enter. They have no access. It was his place that was prepared for them, and therefore it was the one that would lead them to his place in the Lord. And then the second ascension was to give the disciples their mandate and to show all of us, to give record that, hey, this is the same thing that before, all of you that are saints, the first set of saints had gone, all of you are coming. So anyway, according to scriptures, Jesus Christ ascended. The disciples stayed. He told them to stay. He said, don't go anywhere. He said, don't go anywhere. Don't go. Stay. Don't go anywhere. I will send the Holy Ghost to you. Now, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, there was no way they would have had that number of people that were staying under one roof continuously. Normally, after you mourn the dead, you go home. Nobody would host you for 40 days or 50 days. Why? Like, how would you be getting food? What are you doing? But the Bible said they continued the one accord. Why? Because Jesus Christ told them. He told them after I ascended that I will send you the Holy Ghost. He will teach you. Now, they believed him. Why? Why did they believe him? Because he rose from the dead. They were talking to practically the first man to rise from the dead, and they were looking at him. So whatever he told them, they believed him. You will notice that throughout the four Gospels, there was no question asked of the Jesus that was from the dead. Before he was from the dead, somebody will ask a question. Somebody will throw a challenge. Disciples will behave, misbehave. This one will say, oh, that was the only one that said anything negative was Thomas. When he said, if I don't see the holes in his hand and in his leg, I will not believe. Because others told him, he has risen and they've seen him. They were like, no, I must see him and I must see the holes before I believe. And then Jesus Christ appeared. And then Jesus Christ came to him and showed him. And he was like, did he hear it when I said so? Did he hear? Because he wasn't here when I spoke. And yet, yeah, he is presenting me with evidence. So the Bible said, Thomas fell on his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. And from that moment, Thomas also believed. But you notice that the Bible said he began to teach them for 40 days. And those 40 days, nobody asked a question. There was no argument. All of them began to call him Lord and God. They began to call him God. They began to call him God. They stopped their mindset before he resurrected. They were calling him Rabbi, Master. You will notice that after the 40 days, all of them began to call him Lord, God, Lord, God, which was a taboo to the Jews. The Jews don't call human beings God. But these guys have seen something. Power changed their focus, their mentality, their mindset, changed their perception of Christ. Their questions answered. They have seen the evidence that indeed this is the Son of God. They've seen it. And so when they told them the Holy Spirit will come, of course, they believed him. But they didn't know which day. But he said they should stay in one place. So they stayed. They won. They won. There was no fight. All of them were caught up in the euphoria of the risen Lord. They too, they were describing the angels. Did you see the angels that received him during the ascension? Did you see the angels talking to us, telling us that we shouldn't despair, that say we see him going up, he will come down? Did you see? Wow, he's really God. We've been eating with God all this while. We've been sleeping beside God all this time. Peter, you have insulted God. They began to realize that, hey, all this while he was telling us, but we didn't believe him. But now he has presented the evidence. Hey, the stayed put. Then the day of Pentecost came. And while they were just singing and worshiping, the Holy Spirit broke out among them. Now notice that as soon as power came, the first two things you saw was this. Number one, unusual language. So they began to speak this unusual language, and people began to see it, and they were like, what is it? What are they saying? This language sounds like Yoruba. This language sounds like Hausa. This language sounds like English. But this language is not totally English, not totally Yoruba. We are having phrases, and what are they saying? Are they drunk? Then when somebody said, are they drunk? What happened? Peter then answered. So power comes with answers. People will be curious. Power will then have answer to questions. Somebody that is tongue-tied suddenly will have the boldness to speak. And what he will say would be true. It wouldn't just be plucking words out of the air. It would actually be telling spitting facts. So the guy said, no. This is the manifestation of what was written in the book of Joel. That in the last days, wow, brilliant Peter. Peter was quoting scripture to back up what happened that nobody could explain. 120 people are speaking in strange language. Somebody said, what is going on? And Peter said, this is the manifestation of what was written in the book of Joel. So did Peter know what was happening? So he didn't. Because the Lord already told them to expect the Holy Spirit. And he told them also that when it comes, strange things will happen, and that those strange things are going to lead to them shaking the world at its roots. So then Peter answered the question, and as soon as Peter answered the question, people all around them, they began to feel the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. It began to spread to the point where 3,000 of them came together, and they were like, hey, we want to be saved. We want to be saved. And according to scripture, Peter, they were able to save 3,000 souls in one day. That's according to the word. So, unusual language, answers, boldness, all this that are unusual for somebody like Peter, it was as if it was out of character. It just became those things because power came. And then after that, their numbers began to increase in a supernatural way. First day, 3,000. By the end of the first week, they had won 20,000. They had crowd. They had a city unto themselves. And you know what? The people are not going and coming. People are coming and they are staying. They are going to stay in the synagogue all day, all night. And Peter began to think, how do we feed them? How do we take care of them? And this led to a lot of people selling their properties because they were willing, they've seen something. Just to understand, people are so convinced. They saw it wasn't. So when people say, he did the result, I'll say, look at the facts. Look at people's behavior. Look at their behavior. You can look at the logic of their behavior. then you can look at it and see they surely experienced something. And that thing was not just a small thing, it was a big deal. People began to do everything for this kingdom. I'm teaching this today because I wanted you, who have been praying for many days, to understand that you can replicate this in your life. A lot of us, we live a small life, but the kind of life we live, all our limitations are a product of our imagination. All our limitations. The power of God is always available to do so much more, but we cannot do beyond what we believe we can. And I speak to all of us, including myself. We cannot do beyond what we think or imagine we can. Because the power is unlimited, but the human mind is limited. By its nature, our mind is not supposed to be limited. Our mind is supposed to be infinite. We are supposed to be able to think of things from the earth into the universe. We are supposed to be able to contemplate space, galaxy. We are supposed to think of big, big, mighty things, impossible concepts that we can make possible. That's how our mind is supposed to work. But experience, nature, background, and our environment and setting has taught all of us not to raise our expectations too high. Every one of us want to temper our ambition. We want to temper our expectation. We want to put our expectation, we want to put it at something that is reachable or achievable. So we don't dream or think or talk as big as we ought to. We don't come out foolish, bravely and boldly to do unusual things. We think where we are is where God is supposed to meet us. I said that yesterday. There's a difference between the mindset of Elisha and the widow's and the prophet's widow. Elisha had no oil. He didn't have oil at all. A prophet's widow came to him and said, "My Lord, you know that my husband before he died was a faithful man to you. But now he's dead and he died owing debts. And those he owed or he was owing said they are going to take my children for usury. They are going to take the children and the children will work on their farms until the children pay off the debt with labor." And this woman as a mother felt, "I just lost my husband. I don't want to lose my two sons." So then she went to the prophet to talk. Typically, you will expect Prophet Elisha to either give him the money, give her the money if he had it, or talk to the debtors. The debt collectors say, "Ah, I'm a man of influence. Let me talk to these people and try and arrange something." Those are the human parameters. Or tell the woman to take her children and run to the city of refuge. But it wasn't thinking that way. So Elisha decided to provoke the supernatural by using power to do unusual things. By using power to do the unusual. He asked her, "What do you have?" The man said, "Oh, all I have is oil." And then he said, "Okay, when you get home, get a lot of pots. Don't leave your door open. Lock your door and then pour the oil in the jar. And the woman was like, okay. And she did it. Now, I want to look at the step. It was unusual. He didn't do the usual. When there is power, there is room to do the unusual. A lot of us don't do the unusual. We are so tailored to do the usual. So tailored to, because we are creatures of, we are quite predictable as people. Anybody can plot the graph of anybody. You will know where the road that took us down to take it today. We really don't like deviating from our routines. But with power, routine has to change. The way you think has to change. Your approach to your business has to change. Your approach to life has to change. Your approach to your marriage has to change. You have to believe. You must please believe. I'm begging. You must believe that you are not meant for ordinary things. You must believe that you are meant for more. You must be convinced of that. A lot of us are not convinced. We say it, but we say our declarations more with hope that they will come to pass than with a conviction that we are speaking truth to life. Your declaration is you speaking truth to life. The way Jesus Christ spoke truth to life, when Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, what do you think he was doing? He was declaring. Because he was saying the things that people around him did not believe he was. That's declaration. When somebody is declaring and they're saying, oh, thank you, Father. Gold is mine. Silver is mine. The cattle and thousand hills are mine. I'm blessed when I go out. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed in every currency of the world. Dollar is mine. Flow to me. Pounds is mine. Flow to me. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I declare it. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will never lack. I will never be forsaken. I am rich. I'm bold, I'm strong. What do you think you are doing? You're declaring. And you are declaring using the words, I am. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. What's declaring? Unusual utterances. Did Jesus not become the thing he declared? Did he not become those things? But he was declaring out of conviction. He was not declaring out of hope. He was stating the things he was. But people couldn't see him as those things. People saw him as Jesus, a carpenter, son of Joseph. They didn't see him as those things. But he was declaring them because they were the truth. He was speaking truth to life, that life may respond to that truth and accept it as fact. So you have a kiosk, for example, and your business is so small, but you must have a business. You have a business, you just started it, it's so small, no customer. And you say, okay, Pa, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for the mall you have opened unto me. This is a mall. Oh, Papa, shake it up in the name of Jesus. And you begin in the presence of power to declare unusual utterances. Unusual utterances. Very soon, that kiosk will become a shop. And when it becomes a shop, you will not say, oh, I've arrived. You will say, oh, no. Thank you, Father, for this shop. Hey, Kopandega. Hey, Zuziana. I declare it. You are not stopping here. The oil continues to flow. There is no stopping you. There is no stopping you. And then a few months later, somebody said, oh, you can put three shops together. Okay, three shops, that's fine. And then you have three shops put together as one. And then you get Pia Gosha. Hey, go CBD. We are not stopping here. In the name of Jesus. Then it becomes a warehouse. Then it's a small warehouse. Okay, warehouse. So then you continue from there. It becomes small. A lot of us After that very first breakthrough, we stop declaring. We no longer declare with conviction. We began to read declaration out of phones. Some of us, the resources will come, but we will lack the wisdom to manage them, to turn the small into huge, to multiply it. Without unusual response, power will be useless. Power requires unusual response. Because power is not the usual. The norm is that you are powerless. But now that power has come, you must then be determined and decide that the results I'm going to get here will not be the same. They will not be the usual. I'm not going to go for the usual. I'm going to go for the unusual. And then you will move in that mindset. One of the first things you will notice is that when things begin to change for you, people will begin to be attracted. People will begin to come. People will begin to come. They'll begin to come. I was reading a book by one of the bishops located in Ibadan. And he said, he went to ILAG, started the ministry. It was full of the Holy Spirit, but the ministry was not growing, was not thriving, was not doing well. And in those days, Archbishop Benson Idahosa was the big deal. Everybody goes to him. Everybody goes to him. But Archbishop Benson Idahosa himself knew what this theory I'm telling you, he knew. I also practiced, I learned a lot of things from him, not because I sat under his teaching, I was a child when he was alive, but because I know that there are things he knew that I had to learn. So I had to, when I grew up, I had to find as many of his books and tapes as I could find, and I had to watch his tapes and read his books. Bishop Benson Idahosa knew that he had received power when he was in the US. According to the book Fire in His Bones, written by a woman who wrote his autobiography, the woman said all of them, including Bishop Benson Idahosa, all of them were in the same Bible school. He said they were white. They are not used to loud prayer. In the Bible school, they were in like a boarding school, but all of them were adults. So they call it seminary, and they all lived in. He said there is a dining. He said there is a dining. There was a dining. And then there was a chapel where they pray. Then there were classrooms. And there were rooms. She said she would hear the voice of Archbishop Benson Idahosa praying in his room. The women were staying upstairs. The men were downstairs. He would be praying in his room. America is mine. All the resources of America in the name of Jesus. He said he was one of the best-dressed students. Best-dressed. And he had no money. He was selling shoes with butter shoes in Benin before he traveled. Right. And the man of God that God raised to look for Archbishop Idahosa and told him that I have a servant in Africa, I'm preparing him for some work, go and sponsor him. The man gave Archbishop Idahosa a gold card. And he said, whatever you need, God said, I should sponsor you, so take this card. Whatever you need, buy. Whatever you need, there's more than enough money there, just be spending. So Archbishop Idahosa went to Harrods to buy suits. I'm trying to make you see. He went to Harrods to buy very expensive suits. He was one of the best students. But she said, one of them thought at the beginning that he was just the son of a wealthy African man who wanted his son to become a pastor because of the way he carried himself. But that when they heard him praying, you will realize that this guy does not pray like the children of a rich man who had everything. He said, Africa is mine. Australia, in the name of Jesus, I take you for the Lord. He said he'll be screaming. He said all of them wouldn't be able to sleep. That They would during the day, during breakfast the next morning, when they were having breakfast, Agbaja would be awake, eating. Like the others, all of them, they will sneak back to go and catch some sleep to make up for the disturbance it disturbed them the previous night. When Agbaja was declaring like that, all of them were just watching him. Do you know this man in his short ministry? And in his lifetime, visited 115 countries. The currencies of 115 countries were coming to his ministry. In countries where they did not invite him, he went by himself. So let me say that again. Said, I'm just booked the flight. And he said, oh, okay, I'm going to Jamaica. He said, oh, which church are you going to minister in Jamaica? He said, oh. Is Jamaica not the land of the living? Do people not live there? People live in Jamaica. Yeah. So I'm going to Jamaica. Get me visa. Get me ticket. And then he will tell me himself to Jamaica. When he gets to Jamaica, say they will tell you, ask him, which is the best church in town? They will point to, oh, a Cathedral of St. James or Cathedral of St. Jude. And then on Sunday, he will dress in the best attire. He will go to the church, introduce himself to the pastor. And you know the way he will dress. He would dress so intimidatingly, introduce himself to the pastor after the service, and he would tell the pastor, I would like to preach here next Sunday. The Lord has given a message for the people of this town, and you can ask of me. This is my American address. This is my sponsor. I went to this school. You can call this person. You can call this person. They know me. You may not know me, but they know me. And then these people will call, and they will tell them, oh, that bishop is in your country. Great man of God, let him preach, let him preach. You will see fire, you will see fire. And then next Sunday, those people will give our bishop the microphone and then he will preach. And then the power of God will break out. Hey, that power, but you have to do unusual things for the power to speak. You have to do unusual things, otherwise, the power will not speak. And then when they don't know him there, that oh, this is very unjust. That's like, oh, you then leave Jamaica and then you go to Haiti. And then he gets to Haiti, he will make a call. He say, oh, where is the biggest church here? Oh, my name is Archbishop Blessing Dawsa. I'm from Africa. The Lord sent me on the mission to this place. I'm in Haiti now. If you want to find out about me, you can call Benny Hinn. You can call this. You can call that. And then they will give them three or four names in America. And so those folks should pick a call and say, a man came here. He said his name is Archbishop. Let him preach. Let him preach. You will see fire. And then he will preach. And the whole place will erupt. Without any invitation from anybody. But there was fire in his bones and there was fire in him. When I read it, I read it. I didn't say God showed me. I was reading a book and then one of his assistant pastors, they wrote an exclusive article about him in one old newspaper, a 1987 newspaper. And that's the way it was written. Somebody took a picture and posted it in Neverland. So I was searching about for everything about Archbishop Idausa. Then I saw this article written about him and I read it. I said, God, God, thank you, Father. I don't know what to do. The following day, not week, following day, I saw on Facebook, I saw on Facebook a brother writing about the miraculous that, oh, God heals the sick. He can heal headache. He can heal this. He has seen people before mission field. He was talking about it. Olamide Dosin. I saw it. So then I then reached out to him. I said, hi, that I like your post. That I also work in the supernatural, and I really enjoy reading some of your articles. They are faith building and all that. And then he said, oh, it's not. Where was I? I said I was in Lagos. He said it wasn't in Lagos, but that you'll be in Abuja. I said, what are you going to do in Abuja? I said, they invited you for a program. I said, ah, which church? He said, it's not a church, it's a program. One person is doing a program for singles ministry, that they invited you to come and be their main speaker. I said, can I come? Can I come? I will pay for my ticket. I will pay for my hotel. I will pay for everything because I saw what Archbishop Benson in the house I did. So I said, can I come? Can I come, please? He said, ah, I'm not the organizer. I will talk to the organizer. So then he called this barrister actually, and he called him and he said, "Ah, can I bring somebody?" And barrister said, "Oh, okay, no problem." I said, "The person will pay for his flight and whatever. Whatever the person needs, he will pay." Okay. And so I got on the flight. I paid for my ticket. I paid for everything. Because I saw somebody else do it. The power of God in me. It wasn't a joke. I knew I was anointed. But I never knew. I wanted to sit down and tell them, pray. Father, let them invite me to this program. Sometimes I watch a Christian program on TV. I'll be like, hey, God, this man, God has given him a crowd, but these people should be healed. He's not healing them. He's not doing the thing that just said we should do. I'll be shouting. I was like, why am I shouting in the room? I had the power to do something. I didn't do anything. I went to Abuja. If you go to YouTube and you see Tongues of Fire, GSW Tongues of Fire, that was the Abuja program. When I got there, the guy, you know, I wasn't invited officially. And I didn't behave like I was a I didn't say God gave me a message because that wouldn't be in quotes very true. So they said, okay, you see, we have a 2-hour program and too much sermon would disturb people. So first speaker will use 40 minutes. Second speaker will use 20 minutes. Last speaker will use 10 minutes. So then they asked, which topic do you want to speak on? They were asking me, which topic? I said, which speaker am I? They said, 10 minutes. I said, I have 10 minutes. They said, thank you. 10 minutes is fine. So one of them said, so we don't want to be speaking on the same topic so that people will not, like, we shouldn't be repeating ourselves. And it's only a 2-hour program out of which they will do other things. The sermon is 1 hour. You are giving somebody 40 minutes. You are giving somebody 20 minutes. You are giving you 10 minutes. So which topic are you going to speak on? I said, don't worry, you guys speak. By the time you finish speaking, I will know what I'm speaking on. So first speaker went 40 minutes, he spoke well. Second speaker went 20 minutes, he spoke well. And then they said, from Lagos, the third speaker for this event, GSW, Newman Ministries. That time, well, we didn't have any original name. So there was no name, but there was power. The anointing is real. So I took the microphone. And if you have heard me sing before, you know that normally when I sing, my voice is very good. But to say it, because I keep affirming it, my voice is very good. Because if I had a good voice, the wonders I will have done with music, God. But God knows that I have to empower musicians. So he did not let me be the musician. But that's fine. So I got in the altar, took the microphone. Lagadia, Hedia, Nakapiria. So I began to sing in tongues. My God, the whole church was engulfed in a cloud. People, the anointing moved so much. People are following the anointing everywhere. All the conveners of the program, they couldn't believe it. Because they were not expecting that. They were expecting somebody to come and speak English. They gave me 10 minutes. I spoke for 10 minutes. I was looking at the time. I sang in tongues for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, I dropped the microphone. I went to sit down. No, there was nobody to continue the service. People are rolling on the floor. People are everywhere. The musicians couldn't stop playing. They told me to go back. They said, go back, go back. Go back. They said, he's here. If you have any sickness, come forward. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. He's still standing on the altar. We give him 10 minutes. I can see the power of God is still moving. Come and see. That was how people began to come, one by one. I was at that service from 4 p.m. I was the last person to leave at 9 p.m. 8:30. All the other pastors have left. I was still praying for people. All the other pastors left. I was still praying because they saw the power of God. Glory to God. Rakotapish. Now, here is where I'm going. If you don't do anything unusual with power, you see, action will push for a reaction. A matter will stay where you put it unless somebody sets it in motion. So you are anointed, no doubt. You are power, no doubt. But if you stay in one place, that's where you will stay. If you do not move, you will not cause any collusion. You will not have any impact. If you say if everything stays the way they are, everything will stay the way they are. Until somebody moves, nothing moves. That's the truth. So when I saw that, I have never seen that. I said, okay. When I was reading, I told earlier, I was reading Bishop, I believe, I remember his name. This Bishop in Ibadan. I was reading a book he wrote. And then he said, oh, they were not growing as a church. He prayed. Then one day he said to himself, I'm going to go see Bishop Benson in the house. I will travel to Benin. I will ask him to lay hands on me. Maybe it is anointing on my life that is not enough. Maybe I didn't have grace. Maybe I didn't have something. Something must surely be missing. Because the man said a lot. The man said a lot. And I was reading it. So I was like, so how did they solve it? The man said he got to Abuja Blessing Dawson's church. He sat among the crowd, of course, because at Blessing Dawson's church, you are just another guy. You cannot claim to be anything, but you are a pastor by writing your own church. He said, then after service, you went to meet Archbishop Blessing Dawson. I said, Archbishop, please, sir, have a church in Ibadan. It's not growing. It is not doing well. Nothing is moving. And since I was in the university, I've been serving the Lord. And I love the Lord. And I have a true calling on my life. Archbishop, please help me. What do we do? So Archbishop told the Archbishop said, Archbishop called his secretary. And then he said to the secretary, which date do you have on your calendar? Which date do you have on your calendar? And the bishop said, I think I'm free next month, 19th. And then he told him, go to your church in Ibadan. Pay attention. Go to your church in Ibadan. All your workers, anybody that you have, how many are you? He said, in church, maybe you are like 19 or 20. He said, all of you, be there. I'm coming. And then he gave him time. I'll be there. He said, you will come to my church. I will come. I'm coming. So this is a small church in Ibadan. Small church in Ibadan. That the of course, they can't even imagine that they wanted to host the Archbishop. And he didn't say he was coming to do a revival, that they would spend a lot of money. But the Archbishop didn't have any influence in Ibadan. So you see what Archbishop was doing. The Archbishop didn't have any influence at Ibadan. Then somebody came from Ibadan to him, and the person said, I had a small church, it is struggling. But the Archbishop knew that he is anointed. He knew that I am anointed. There was no doubt in his heart that he is anointed. He had no doubts. Okay, bye. It goes. All right. So he had no doubt in his heart that he was anointed. He knew that the anointing of the Lord is upon him. He knew it. He knew that if he goes to a small church, that once he steps there, the church will become a huge church. He had done it in Jamaica. He had done it in other countries. So he knew that he is anointed. He knew. He knew that if somebody tells me, oh, Baravenga, my church is struggling. If I say, okay, when? Let me come there. He knew that once he comes and he does whatever he has to do, the church will begin to move. He knew. So he said, I'm coming to Ibadan. On the day he went to Ibadan, Archbishop Bishop Aloke said they've done everything they could do to gather more people so that Archbishop would not be embarrassed. Because how can the Archbishop be coming to a church of 20 people? They've gathered a lot of people, maybe all of them like 50. He said, when he got there, he said, Pastor, come forward. Where are all your workers? He said, all of them should come forward. All the workers came forward. Then he told them, you are the bishop. He was telling a pastor, you are not the bishop. Now, where is your assistant pastor? You are the assistant bishop. Where is this one? He was giving them that to write down there. He said, so this is a small church. Your pastor told me it's a small church. But I, Archbishop Benson Dawson, declare from today that this is a big church and that you have influence all over the world and that all of you, the title I've called you, you would sit there and you would dispense this title by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Then he laid hands on all of them. All of them fell under the anointing. Then they left the church. And then from that day, this man of God did not just receive the anointing and sit down. Do you know what he did? Their church was small. He gave his members title. The person they call deputy bishop. He called him deputy bishop. The one that is the driver, he called him director of transportation, international Mikiniko ministry. I didn't want to mention the name of the church, international whatever ministry, director of transportation. Yeah, another person that is in charge of children's church, international director of children ministry. He, because the bishop had said it and he had accepted it, there were numbers for a few. But he began to declare it because he had received the unction. Do you know, within 10 years, within 10 years, everything that bishop said would happen to that church has happened with supernatural speed. They began to build edifices. They began to, the people that he called deputy bishop became deputy bishop indeed. The people that he called district pastor became district pastor indeed. And all of them were small nucleus. What happened? Unusual declaration, unusual deeds with power. Unusual. So, if power comes and don't do anything unusual, then did you really receive power? That's the question to ask yourself. If power came, okay, I have received power, but I didn't do anything unusual with it. Oh, only God knows how many countries I've been to. Why do you think so? I learned from him. So I will go, I'm going to this place. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Because I realized that if you have power and you sit in one spot, Jesus had so many disciples. Did you know that some of the disciples did not win any soul? I'm not talking of the 12. I'm talking about the others. There are many of them that they just sat there. Some of them went back to Judaism. If you read the book of Hebrews, you will see it there. Some of them went back to Judaism. They had to be writing to them that, how can you taste such a great power and go back to Judaism? How can you witness what you witnessed and go back to Judaism? So if you receive power and you don't do anything with it, power will not come and do things by itself. A house does not build itself. If you don't build, it will not build. A car does not drive itself. If you don't drive, it will not move. In everything you do, if you don't move from here to there, you will stay where you are. Once you begin to move, you are exerting power. You must put power to work with unusual deeds. Do you know? We have a huge fellowship in Abuja now. Yes, I'll be in Abuja. In November, I'll be in Abuja. I usually come to Abuja 3 or 4 times a year, and we will have a wonderful, glorious fellowship. We will have a strong fellowship in Abuja. Do you know that it was because of that first one I went, which they didn't invite me, that I invited myself. I put myself in a flight. I paid for my own flight. I went there with everything, paid for my own hotel. In the night, that previous night, I remember, I wasn't used to too much AC. I was sneezing, sneezing, sneezing. I called my brother at 2 a.m. My brother was the one that was saying, oh, because I wasn't used to their system, my brother said, no, the reception. But the next day, power came. After that day, there's going to be my Abuja began. Now we have a very strong number. Not small. If I had to live in Abuja today, I'll be in the burden of, in the presence of my brethren. The same happened in Lagos. The same has happened in Kwara. The same is happening everywhere. Why? Because I just realized if you don't put power to work, power will not work itself. If somebody does not take it by the gauntlet and say, hey, this is what we are doing, it will not happen over there. It will happen by itself. And the more you use power, the more power you receive. So if you don't use power at all, remember the parable of the people that they give talents. If you don't use it, you don't get double. If I use everything I have now, by the time I'm getting another one, it will be more because I will have power to do more. There's always power to do more. So if I do 10 today, I know that tomorrow I'm doing 20. But if I don't do anything today, I'm not going to do anything tomorrow. So if a Christian does not exert power, if you don't put power to work, power will not put itself to work. And you have to put power to work, not doing the usual thing. So okay, this is what I normally do. And then that's what I normally continue to do. No. That's why I like some of our ministers. They know how to sing. But now they are healing the sick. They will go and lay hands. I said, this is wisdom. Because you must use power in unusual things. Not in the usual things. Where you begin to say, maybe it's my talent, maybe it's power. No. You already know how to do some things. You put power to work in unusual things. The power of God to work in unusual things
unusual things was part of what they know disciples of Jesus for. They said extraordinary miracles happened by the hand of the disciples. It's in the Bible. Unusual miracles. Unusual. The things that people have not seen before. That is unusual. The things that they were not doing before. Unusual. Unusual is today. You must think of it and begin to do unusual things, for the power of God is in you to cause it to grow. It's time to give our offering. Today's offering is an unusual offering. Oh, my God. Thank you, Father. It's an unusual offering to give. It's an offering of declaration. And you may be where you cannot talk so loud, but I really wish you go to where you can talk. For 3 minutes, as you give this offering, remember I told you that Jesus declared everything he became. Jesus kept saying, I'm the bread from heaven. I am, before Abraham, I am. He was saying all these things. He was making his declaration, making his declaration. He was saying the things that be not, and they became. They became. And I told you, Bishop Peter Benson after did the same when he was in school. He will be calling the things that be not, so that later in life he began to do them. I want you to begin to call the things that be not. Don't say, I declare that I get my school fees. Don't say that. Those are usual things. Can you declare unusual things this day? Can you? Can you? Go ahead. Hey, Gibia. Lekupianos. Unusual things. Unusual things. Things that you seem to be a lie in your, to your imagination. That you be seen as if you are overburdening your imagination. You are overloading your imagination. But these are the true nature. This is the true nature of power. Power must do unusual things. Otherwise, what is it? What is the point of receiving the Holy Ghost if you cannot turn the world upside down? What is the point of receiving the Holy Spirit if you cannot tear the veil to pieces? What is the use of receiving the Holy Spirit if you cannot create a culture that would be a countercultural force to the existing norm? Declare extraordinary things for your business, for your life. Declare roads, houses. Declare nations. Declare, 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 declare. They are coming to you from afar. They are coming. It is the word of God. If you say a thing, it will be established. If you keep quiet, nothing is established. And you must say them not by reading them from a phone. You must say them from the belly, from the belly, from your spirit. You must say them. You must cause a lot of commotion in the realm of the spirit. Angels must be put to work to dispatch, to hear some things and to say, hey, okay, we have to call a senior angel to come and do this. You have to do things in such a way that the power of God will speak and it will not be quiet. Extraordinary things. Supernatural things. Supernatural things. That is what the power of God is for. We are not getting power for small, small things. I do not want the things I can do for myself. I don't need the power of God to do them. I always say it. The things I need the power of God to do are the things that are beyond my ability to do. That is what the power of God is for. And that is what you will do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Give glory to your name. Thank you because the bellows of your children, as they raise their voice and declare their head, they have been praying in the spirit. And within a few days, we begin to hear of extraordinary reports, extraordinary reports by the Spirit. Thank you, to Holy Spirit. We love and adore you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout glory!
Glory!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.